Welcome to Travel People, living authentic lives, finding kindred spirits, and fulfilling dreams. Sometimes we have to get lost for a while to live found and free. Here we talk about essential journeys, what I call beauty breaks for the soul. They lead us home to the people we were created to be. My guests are masters of reinvention and growth, and they live around the globe. They're going to share their travel go-to places and give insider tips on where and how to take time outs in their backyards. They'll inspire and empower you to plan your next adventure, to live your best life of relationship, rejuvenation, rest, whatever it is that you need and seek. I'm Cindy McCain, travel writer and blogger at Southern Girl Gone Global, where I share my journey as a mom, explorer of 27 countries, former expat, an empty nest survivor. When my children flew away, I did too. For a while, I landed in Morocco. After 2 years there and one in the Caribbean, I'm back in Nashville teaching university English, telling travel tales, and coaching others as they write theirs. I'm so excited to introduce you to some of the colorful cohorts that I've met from around the world, whose heads and hearts push me to press on in growth, live by core values, never settle, accept change. They make me laugh, and no matter how far or long we're apart, they remain my ride or die friends. We'll start with where they are, where they've been, and how they got there. Okay, the literature teacher in me will ask them to describe their trajectories using Joseph Campbell's stages of the hero's journey, the way he said we follow our bliss. I'll ask guests when they heard the call to a different life, what pushed them to cross the threshold into a new world, who became mentors and allies as they faced testing and struggles, whether or not they found what they were looking for, and how their lives have changed since. I'll never forget teaching high school students in Marrakesh. We study many works that are in our Western curriculum, but I particularly love teaching them The Odyssey and The Alchemist, because I felt like I was living a journey at that time too. The mission of every episode that you will hear is that we remember the truths Alfred Lord Tennyson expressed in his poem, Ulysses. I am a part of all I have met. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a better world. I never dreamed when I started planning these interviews that they begin in April 2020, when the world is on lockdown. For those of us healthy and at home, we're finding that being grounding can be grounding. We're more in need of connection than ever. Some of us are thinking about where we want to go from here. So maybe this is just the right time that we come together. Hello, travel people out there. Today, I have a dear friend here and guest who's going to speak with you from her hometown in Toronto, Canada. This is my dear friend, Janice Chung. Hi.
Hi.
She is a retired elementary school principal, and she is an expert on all things about France. And she's going to tell you about her wonderful adventures there and about her her blog. And anyway, first, before we get there, I just have a few questions about Canada and what's happening there in terms of weather and also in terms of what's going on with the COVID-19.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to see you. We haven't been together since we first met in Spain 5 years ago this month.
I know.
Toronto is in springtime. We had beautiful weather about a week ago, shorts and t-shirts, and then it snowed. So
yeah,
there you go. But, you know, we're getting there. The weather is getting warmer. I know Canada is often known for, you know, people think, oh, we have snow all the time. We don't. In the summertime, actually, it can get very hot and humid, at least in Toronto.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, yeah, things are slowly opening up. The sad part is when I got home from France early March, there were less than 1,000 coronavirus cases. And now there's over 76,000.
Wow.
And a lot of them, and the deaths are in long-term care homes. So it's very tragic. So the government, our federal government and our provincial governments are being very, very cautious sure. in opening things up, which is fine with me.
Sure. We need to kind of tell them what, so when you were in France this last time that you just referred to, we were going to have a reunion finally after 5 years. Yeah. We met at the Travel Bloggers Exchange in Spain, and then we decided we were going to meet again, this time in Sicily at the Travel Bloggers Exchange. But very sadly, I guess about a week before Italy was reporting its first cases, we were wondering, and of course, you were already there because she had gone to France first. And so we were trying to stay in touch while she was over there because we had this plan to meet. We were going to be roommates. And then I guess literally about a week before it was announced that they would close. And we were both, because both of us were worried about getting back into our own countries. We were afraid that, what would happen if we were quarantined as we tried to get across the border. And then, of course, the borders were closed. So,
right. I mean, that I hate to say that was a bigger concern, but it was of equal concern.
It was.
Sure, we could get down to Sicily, but we might not get home.
Exactly. We didn't know. Yeah. So in the end, it was kind of good that they called it off and made the decision for us because we were really struggling with that. But Absolutely. It was a shame because we had all these plans and these wonderful things we were going to do in Italy. But you still had a wonderful trip in France. And
yes, I did.
So I have to know, what is in your glass right now?
Well, actually, I'm looking at it. And I know it looks like white wine, but it's actually rosé. It's a very light one. And if you can see, there's the Eiffel Tower.
Of course.
That emblem. One of my sisters gave it to me, a few of them. So, santé.
Yeah. Tell, that looks delicious. Tell them how many times you've been to France.
34. And I think I'm at the point where maybe I shouldn't tell people anymore because then they really think I'm, crazy. And the other comment that I used to get, actually I don't get it much anymore, is why don't you go somewhere else? And I know we'll talk about it. And I've been to a lot of other places, but my heart is in France.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I love your passion and your loyalty to your country. So every chance you get, you're headed that way. I had wanted to join you last year because you did we both had big birthdays, milestone birthdays, and she had this wonderful trip planned to France, and I really wanted to come over and meet her, but I was, since coming back to the States and trying to get a job in the university, I was sort of on a year-to-year contract basis and wasn't sure if that was going to pan out, and didn't really find out about that till I think the end of June. So, I wasn't able to meet her. And really,
other trips.
Yeah, exactly. We are determined that we are going to do this at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I was thinking today, this is so odd. Well, for one thing, because I have now a 3-year contract at the university. So, I was kind of like, but then with the virus situation, we actually had to delay this interview because I had a meeting with my department head by Zoom about an announcement concerning, where we were with contracts because no one really knows what's going to happen until our state meets about budgeting. So everything is a little bit on hold. So I'm still kind of in that in-between place. I was, I guess, a year ago. But the other funny thing I was thinking is the last time, of course, we talk back and forth all the time while you're in Canada, but about a decade ago, I started my first blog post was after the election where Obama became president and he was running against McCain at the time. And because I have the same name, MTV Canada had the day after the election, they did a Zoom type thing and put me on TV there introducing me kind of as a joke or a skit. You know, they had all of us that had the same name. So there was John McCain, there was Cindy McCain, you know, none of us knowing each other. And that was just so surreal. They called me from Canada and said, hey, we want you to be on MTV. So that was pretty crazy.
That's a riot.
I know, but times are still crazy, are they not? So, and I know we're going to talk, I want us to talk about France, but I have to say something really fast. Tell them about your latest thing that you're doing, because you're always doing something new, the classes you're taking. And I think this is such a great idea, especially for times like this.
Well, I think you'll probably agree with me. Being an educator, I'm a lifelong learner and I love to learn. And I've been aware of this program for many years and thought, well, what the heck? So I went online and Second City, you know, the improv, you know, they're the ones who started basically Saturday Night Live, Canadian guy. So they have improv classes, and because of coronavirus, they have online improv classes. So for 4 weeks, 1.5 hours per week, I'm part of an improv class, how to do it. And there are 10 of us, and it's like Zoom, but it's Google Hangouts, so we can see all 10 of us, and we have exercises to do. And it's a riot. I mean, it takes your mind off everything because you really need to be in the moment. And you have to think on your feet. So it's good for the brain.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Not long ago, you were working on classical piano again. And but this laughing is such a great, such a great way.
We need it so badly.
We do. How else are you coping with being locked down?
Virtual chats like FaceTime.
Yeah.
I have an ongoing FaceTime cocktail hour every Friday late afternoon with a friend. I keep in touch with my close friends, and I go running almost every day.
Yeah, so I know you're a big runner. Yeah.
Yeah. For people who are stuck in their homes, there's nothing like nature. And it's not like I go to parks. I'm away from everybody. I run on the streets, not always on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
So I do that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And you've done a lot of running in France too, all over. Yeah.
Two of my favorite races, I think I've done maybe 6 or 7. One was the Paris Marathon, which was really tough because when I cross the finish line, they're usually in North America, food stations, and they'll give you, you know, bananas, cookies, that kind of thing. And I couldn't find anything. So I hopped on the metro and I'm looking off because that's 42.2 kilometers or 26.1 miles. And this woman on the metro, Paris metro, looks at me and says, do you want my seat? And I went, yes, please. So there was that. But the best race I've ever done, and I was debating doing it again, is called the Marathon du Médoc. And that's in the Bordeaux area. And every water station, and there are about 22 water stations, has wine.
Oh, wow.
So every time, and usually it's the water station, you just stop for water and maybe an orange segment, maybe some raisins, that kind of thing. But in this case, they're little glasses of wine, and you don't get drunk.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to. And you have a little sip of wine. So my task was, or procedure, little sip of wine, little sip of water, something to eat, and run to the next station.
So French.
It was started by 4 doctors. And when you cross the finish line, you're given a bottle of Bordeaux in a wooden box, a knapsack with a tasting cup so that you can go to the beer and wine tent for more beer and wine.
Well, there you go. You can celebrate afterwards.
It's a fabulous race. And you don't go for the best time. You go so that you can cross the finish line sober.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Tell them the name of where they can find you, and they can find all of these in detail, these different adventures that you've had.
It's called FranceTravelTips.com. And on my website, I try to focus on those unique experiences like running the Marathon du Médoc. So it could be active experiences, culinary, even educational experiences, yeah. And plus some tips.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful resource. Please check it out. So how, you know, we talk a lot about reinvention on this show and second acts and third acts and however many acts we need to keep growing, like you said, and keep learning. So how and why did you reinvent yourself as a travel blogger on France?
So after I retired, I obviously traveled to France. But before that, when I had what is called a 4 over 5, it's kind of like a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I did a blog just for friends and family. And I enjoyed that. And I don't know what caused me to decide to do this, but I think it was because I took some coding courses, learning how to code, learning how to create websites. And from there evolved France Travel Tips.
That's incredible.
So it's been a learning process. It's frustrating at times, the technology, because that's not my background, but I certainly have learned a lot. So I've been blogging since the fall of 2014, but really it wasn't until I met you at TBEX. I mean, I wasn't even on Facebook until you suggested to me. I remember that. Maybe you should be on Facebook. I went, okay. And you helped me with that. So really it's been only 5 years.
Yeah, I think that jump started both of us. I had been blogging more of a lifestyle blog before that, but then when we went there in 2015, we went to all these, you know, we got to hear amazing people talk about using all the different kinds of social media to grow their website or their blog, and we learned how to do press kits and just so many great things. But I guess from the very first night we became friends. I remember we were going to get on a boat. They took us over to this gorgeous place. I'll put a link to it where they had the opening party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was so fun.
We're both kind of newbies.
Yeah.
More me.
Yeah. You. Yeah.
So I think that's why we really clicked, because, you know, everything was kind of new.
Yeah. And you know, the way that happened for me was that I was blogging, like I said, about different things around Nashville. But then I started, of course, writing about my journey, mostly for family and friends as well. And then when my children came for Christmas, we met in London, and then they came over to Marrakesh. And we went back to London to spend New Year's there. And when I saw them, you know, leaving again, that knew I wouldn't see them till summer, I was so sad. And I just cried all the way back to Marrakesh, even though I loved my new life there, but I missed them a lot. But I remember getting up the next morning and thinking, you know, I just want to take my writing to the next level. What can I do? And I just got online and I saw this TBEX, which is the Travel Bloggers Exchange, and just thought, I'm going to do it. And of course, it was very inexpensive to fly from Morocco to Spain. And it looked like, you know, they had press trips and all kinds of amazing things to do. So I'm so glad we met at that opening night party. And then we just kind of hung out the whole time. But that was fun, really fun. But you have done so much since then. She's always learning. She's always taking classes. I mean, she's like the guru of blogs. She's really helped me tremendously. You really have. But tell them, so when did this love affair with France start?
So there's a movie called Two for the Road. And it was released in 1967. And it stars Audrey Hepburn and Albert Finney. And it's the story of this couple who meet on a ferry coming from England, heading to France. And she's not a student, but she's part of this choir. And the group of girls are heading to the Montan music festival, which actually exists.
Oh, wow.
He's a hitchhiker. Anyways, they really like each other, and she decides to leave her group and join him. You know, I guess the thought was, oh, I'll meet my friends in Malta later. and then they fall in love. But what's very interesting, Stanley Donen is the director, producer, and he did Funny Face. He did a lot of classic movies. And the movie is very unique because it has flashbacks, but they go from the north of France to the south. And so to me, it was like a travelogue. It was showing me beautiful places in France. It is still my favorite movie because the music by Henry Mancini was beautiful. And I remember looking at those places thinking, I want to visit that place. I want to visit that. So one of the places that they stop at is Chantilly, which is north of Paris. And there's a chateau there. And many, many years ago, I went there because they filmed the movie there. Now, a lot of places they filmed, they created the scene, and it wasn't necessarily a real place in France.
Okay.
But a lot of the filming did take place there. So I fell in love with the country.
Oh, that is so cool. And so when was your first trip to actually go there?
So I remember this distinctly. I had finished high school. Well, no, I guess it was the year I was finishing high school. And on New Year's Day, my dad said to the family, we're going to France this summer. And sadly, it was only my mom, me, and one of my other sisters. My sister Pam couldn't go because I think she was working. So anyways, we went in August and we spent a week in Paris and then took the train doesn't exist anymore, but it was called the Mistral. There's a very strong wind in the south of France. So we took this train from Paris to Avignon in the south of France, white linen service. The running joke was, after the first course, my father said, wow, that was a great meal. And then another course came and another course. Uh-huh. So it was like high dining. Anyways, when we arrived in Avignon, our friends picked us up. And we stayed with them in their house. And their house was built into what I consider one of the most beautiful hilltop towns in Provence. It's called Gordes, G-O-R-D-E-S. And the family co-owned the house with a gentleman from Toronto who was an art dealer. And so we spent a week down there really, really exploring Provence as if we were locals. We went to places that, you know, I mean, this is a long time ago, but before it became ultra, ultra famous.
How cool. Also, tell them when your birthday is.
Yes, so I was born on Bastille Day. Bastille Day, Fête de la Nationale, or Fête Nationale, sorry, is July 14th.
That's great.
So maybe in my past life I was French.
It was just meant to be. It was meant to be. For sure.
Yeah.
So tell us, you know, what once you actually did experience it for yourself and that first time and then all the times back, you know, why do you love it so much? Why do you go back there? What is the allure for you?
I've been asked that question a lot and it's somewhat difficult to answer. I just feel at home. I feel irritated when people say the French are snobby. Sure, I've had a bad incident, perhaps with a salesperson, but I don't, characterize all French like that salesperson. Sure. I find the French to be fabulous. Like any country, you can't go and say, do you speak English?
Yes.
It's just like, can you imagine someone from France going to Canada? Well, do you speak French? Well, actually, they could possibly because we're a bilingual country. But to go there, it's really important to try to adapt to their culture, ways of doing things, and their language. So at the very least, to say bonjour. When you enter a store, you don't walk in and say, can you help me with something? You say, bonjour, madame. Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Right.
So there are little cultural nuances. But I just feel so at home. And I also find that there's so much to see in that country. I mean, I still haven't seen all parts of the country. The northeast, I've done Alsace, but I haven't done way northeast, more of where World War I was fought.
Mm-hmm.
So there are areas, that's why I keep going back. I keep going back to new places to see what it's like.
Yeah. And you, again, your thing is unique experiences. I mean, you do the things that a lot of people probably would do on a maybe first trip, but then you go so much deeper and
do. I try to, but yeah, because I don't come to my blog if you're looking for the top 10 things to do in Paris.
Yeah.
Because so many people write about that. Right. Yes, it's the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, the Louvre, things like that.
Right.
If I do write about something, it possibly is from a unique perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, I have tips. For example, if you want to go to the Louvre, go at night because it's less crowded and it's just got a different atmosphere. So hopefully when things open up, it'll be interesting to see how they do museums.
Yeah, definitely. What are some of your favorite trips? I know you've done so many things. Or favorite experiences? There's so many, I know.
Favorite experiences? Well, I guess the most recent one, and I just published this post many years ago, like in the last 10 years, I took a cooking class at Le Cordon Bleu. That's the Julia Child. Many people
have
taken courses there. You can not only get a diploma there, but you can take short courses. These courses might be 2-3 hours. They could be a full day. And so I took secrets of macarons and learned how to make them. And over the years, maybe this is why I haven't published a post until now, I've learned how to make them properly. And are they difficult? Yes and no. I guess it's like the French language. It's very precise. They don't do things by volume. They do it by weight. So you wouldn't say a cup of ground almonds. You might say 100 grams.
Right.
So things like that.
Right.
So that was a unique experience. What are some others? The running ones I've done. There's my second last trip where I was there for 9 weeks. I was in the Occitanie area. So that's kind of the southern area south of Carcassonne, quite south, almost at the Spanish border. And I had seen this, and this is where I get a lot of ideas, in National Geographic Traveler, I think. And it's called Le Train Jaune. It's the little yellow train, and it goes from Villefranche de Conflans up into the Pyrenees.
Oh, wow.
And there's one car that's open, and that was fun. It was just fun being on an open train heading up, you know, the mountains. So that was fun. I like to do bike riding. So I've done riding along the Canal du Midi, which is, again, near Carcassonne. It goes through Carcassonne. And so I did a full day. I rented a bike and went out there and back. So I tend to do that. I like kayaking. I never do kayaking in Canada, but I do it in France. So one of the best kayak trips was under the Pont du Gard. The Pont du Gard is an aqueduct that goes back to Roman times.
Oh, wow.
And it straddles the River Gardon. And so you can rent a kayak, paddle down under the aqueduct, and then catch a ride back to your car.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I've done that. I did kayaking in the Ardèche under Pont de Vallon, Pont d'Arc, sorry, and in the Dordogne. So I like to do that kind of thing. And then food experiences, you know, taking a cooking course. I would say one of the best experiences has to do with French immersion, where I stayed at a French language school. This one is called École de Trois Ponts. And you're totally immersed in the French language. A breakfast, lunch, dinner, classes, and staying on site. And I've been there 3 or 4 times because it's very, how they teach is very effective, but also you're immersed and the food is to die for.
Oh, I bet. What are some of your favorite dishes that you've had there?
I love In France, cassoulet, which is a white bean stew with pork and chicken, white bean. It's delicious. Love that. Certainly, I do love my croissants, but probably my favorite pastry is called chausson aux pommes. And it's the English version might be like an apple turnover, but you know, fluffy pastry, and it's filled with apples. And I have to get that every time I go.
Yeah. And you just went to, what's the lemon, some sort of lemon festival?
Well, or I went, sort but it of. Didn't happen. So the day I flew out, so I flew down to the Côte d'Azur, which is, the Côte d'Azur is around Cannes to Menton, Nice, that area.
Yeah.
And I had purchased tickets, a whole package, to go to the Fête du Citron, which is the lemon festival. That's what Menton is known for. And the day I was to leave, it said it was canceled because of coronavirus. They didn't want the crowds. So I was incredibly disappointed because that's what this whole trip was centered on.
Right.
The good news, it wasn't a total washout, because when I arrived, so the Fête du Citron is where they have these gigantic floats that are decorated in lemons and oranges.
Ah.
And they are, quote, housed in this big garden. And they come out for the parade. And I had signed up, got tickets for their nighttime parade, their daytime parade, and their garden, nighttime garden display. Plus there were other activities. So all that was canceled. But you could still see those floats or the sculptures rising above the fenced, because it was, the whole garden was fenced in, but from far away you could still see the lemon sculptures. So it wasn't a write-off. And then throughout the town there were also some sculptures. So I decided, okay, fine, I'm not going to let this ruin my holiday. I'll take as many pictures as I can. I loved Menton. In the month of March, end of February, beginning of March, the weather was beautiful. It was I can't remember in Fahrenheit. It was about 15 degrees Celsius. That's probably in the 60s. Sunny, cool. You had to wear a jacket. So I toured around everywhere. I didn't have a car, didn't need a car. And I decided if this was the Lemon Festival, I better check out all the lemon pastries, desserts that I could. And so I wrote a post about that, and there are some spectacular
they
ones.
They look delicious. I saw
and
that
they were
post.
Beautiful too.
They were. No. I love lemons. So that, I love that post. Yeah, definitely.
So I spent a week in Menton, and then I spent a week in Nice. No, sorry. A couple of nights in Nice, four nights. And because we didn't meet in Sicily, I only extended my trip by one more night. I thought it was a real debate, because I was concerned about being on airplanes and trains and in crowds. Nothing had broken out. The virus hadn't broken out in the south of France yet. But I decided, you know what, I'll just extend my trip by one night and then fly home.
Yeah.
But I did a lot. So, you know, it was a good trip. I'd love to go back, obviously.
Obviously. Okay, we are back, and now I would like for Jan to give you her must-sees, must-dos in several places that she has been.
Okay, so we'll start with the one city that everybody goes to, and they should, is Paris. And one thing that I've done, and I don't think it has to be Fat Tire Bike Company, but I've done it twice, and I don't know if anybody else does it like they do, and it's the nighttime bike tour. And at first you might think, oh my God, I'm not going to ride a bike on the streets of Paris. I felt very safe. And they take you through Paris. They give you a little historic, you know, information. It's a lot of fun. And then you end up after a couple hours. Well, first of all, you stop and get an ice cream if you want at Bertillon, which is on the Île Saint-Louis. And you end off the trip on a boat. We ended up at the Bateau Mouche and we had a glass of wine.
Nice.
So bike ride, tour, little wine, little boat tour. And I I did it with a friend 1 year, and then years later, I took some other friends on that trip because it was so good. So that is a must do.
Okay.
What else would I do? And I guess I wouldn't, if it's cool out, go to Angelina. Now, they have a few different outlets. Angelina is a restaurant. It's a tea room, but that's where you get hot chocolate.
Iconic, yeah.
Oh, and you can take out the hot chocolate. So I've done it both ways. I mean, you really should get a table and sit down. And the reason is they bring you a big container of whipped cream along with the pot of hot chocolate. And this is not thin hot chocolate. It's very thick. It's African. So it's a dark chocolate. But you would think, oh, God, you know, really thick drinking it, and it goes down so nicely. It's
sounds wonderful.
So definitely do that. I would, so the Seine River basically divides Paris. And along the Seine, there are many of these barges, which are restaurants, but they also do happy hours. Mm-hmm. They do lunch. So I've done a late afternoon drink.
Mm-hmm.
On a barge, it happened to be playing French music.
Nice.
I've been there when there's been two, three guys, you know, a little band playing French music, of course, overlooking Notre Dame, and hopefully in time it'll be repaired. And it's just a really lovely way to spend your time in Paris. And I guess that is in line with, you know, people get to Paris and they have 10 things on their list they must do. And I understand that. But one of those 10 things should be to sit at a cafe and just watch people go by.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more enjoyable than doing that, people watching, sipping your coffee or sipping a glass of wine.
Yeah, I've taken students to Paris several times and took my daughter and my niece were actually on one of those trips, but you know, and we have so much to see because usually those trips we're doing multiple countries, but the real fun is to go back when you can just sit and, as you said, people watch, have a glass of wine. I love, well, the students always love the river cruises at night, and we would go by Notre Dame and they would see the whole city lit up. I love to go to Montmartre. I've always loved to go up there. I know I'm probably slang the way to say these things. I hate saying anything French, but, you know, I love to go up there where the artists, because I have this obsession about reading about the 20s and when the Lost Generation was there and all the great artists hung out, and that was kind of their place. And, of course, Hemingway lived there for a while, and Fitzgerald, and, you know, they were all there. It seemed like all the greats were there at some point around that time, but it is a beautiful city, but it's a place that you do want to just take long lunches and just slow down, you know, and not feel like you have to hit everything on a list. And that's
absolutely,
yeah.
And walking along the Seine. So I do a lot of walking when I'm in Paris, actually in France in general. And a wonderful thing is to, let's say, start at Notre Dame, walk west along the Seine, maybe eventually head up towards the Champs-Élysées, and then walk along the Champs-Élysées all the way to the Arc de Triomphe, then cross back down to the Eiffel Tower, and then walk along the left bank, which is the south side of the Seine River, coming back. That is a typical route that I will take.
Nice.
Because you'll see everything. And I know a lot of people don't like the Champs-Élysées. A lot of well-known retailers are there. And it is a beautiful avenue, though.
It is.
You know, leading up to the Arc de Triomphe, you know, you can see from the Louvre, if you look down past Place de la Concorde and Tuileries Gardens, and you can see it. And then past then, you can see the Grand Arch, which is outside of Paris. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. The city is beautifully designed.
It really is. When it, when I was teaching in Morocco, now the student groups I had gone with were from the U.S., but I did take a group from Morocco. We were going to the Model UN conference in St. Petersburg, and we stopped, made a few stops on the way, and we only had literally one afternoon for Paris, but most of our students had family there. They go to Paris all the time, but the other teacher and I said, you know, let's do it. You know, we've only got an afternoon, but let's do it. And so we kind of turned them loose. A lot of them knew the city and they couldn't go far because we didn't have much time, but a lot of us just did that walk. You know, that's the other teacher and I just said, you know, anybody wants to come with us, but we're just doing this walk that you just described. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's a beautiful city. There's a movie. There were three of them and they were called Before
Sunset.
That one. Sunset. The second one was my favorite. That's the one where they reunite and walk around Paris. And
I'll
it's
have
all
to watch
the shots.
That again. I haven't seen
that. Oh, I love it. Yeah, because the first one, it's this young couple that meet as students in Vienna. Right. And they sort of fall in love. And anyway, say that I think a year later they're going to meet, if it's meant to be, that, you know, they'll be there. And then several years later, they reunite in Paris. And the whole thing is just them walking and talking around Paris. Right. But it is such a beautiful
thing. They meet up at Shakespeare and Company.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a renovation.
Oh, okay.
More storefront. And they've opened a coffee shop next door. And actually, it's not bad.
Oh, nice.
I think I had a coffee and croissant there. But what's interesting about Shakespeare and Company that perhaps a lot of people don't know, and I assume they still run them, they give book talks.
Oh, that's nice.
So
yeah.
I went to an English speaking.
Yes.
So I was there many years ago, and I attended one. They put chairs inside and outside. And you can listen to the speaker.
Well, and I think that's the whole premise of the movie was that she had written a book about their time together and he walked in and she was reading. So I think it was at one of those very, you know, book talks that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've actually gotten approval, or I did before all this happened, to teach a course in England, around different places in England and in Paris next summer. So hopefully I'll still have a job. Hopefully I'll have a group that wants to go and maybe we'll be there next summer. I hope.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Tell us in Provence, what are the must-sees, must-dos?
So one thing that it only opened a few years ago and it's in Les Baux. So in the south of France, they had a lot of quarry mines. Quarry is the rock.
Right,
or
right.
Quarry, right? Anyways, they built a sound and light show. And the quarry is gigantic. I'll make it up. 10 stories tall. And all the walls are the, you know, beigey color, light off-white color. Mm. And they project famous works of art like Picasso or like Van Gogh on the walls, played to music.
Nice.
And so when you go in, you basically wander around this quarry, and there are two shows because they focus either on two particular artists, or genres. So one year I went and it was Spanish painters. So it wasn't just one painter, it was a couple. The last time I was there, which was last June 2019, it was Van Gogh as well as something else. One year it was Flower Power, so music from the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, fun.
The Beatles, stuff like that. And it is phenomenal. A very similar one opened up in Paris, Atelier des Lumières, and they built it in this, it's like a warehouse. So it's not as grandiose. It is very impressive, but I have to tell you, the one in Provence, you know, there's nothing like it. And when it's boiling hot out, like 35 degrees Celsius, it's cool. It's a set temperature. I think they said it was about 14 degrees Celsius. So it's cool. So you have to bring a sweater, even though it might be sweltering hot outside.
Oh, nice.
So that's in Les Baux. Another is the kayaking, the Pont de Gare. Mm-hmm. Way, way back, you used to be able to walk across the top, because I have a picture of myself that I was able to do. I think they've closed that because of safety. Another thing to do is, a lot of people blame Peter Mayle. Peter Mayle was a British author. He wrote A Year in Provence. Mm-hmm. That book was a big hit, and they made a TV show out of it, things like that. And tourists descended on these towns and wanted to see the Provence that Peter Mayle wrote about. So, and many of them are hilltop towns like Gordes that I talked about, mm-hmm. Minerbe, Bonnieux, and they are beautiful towns. Mm-hmm. So if you are in Provence, it's definitely worthwhile to visit these towns. And if you go in late June, but more likely early July, you can see the lavender. So probably you've seen photographs of lavender. And that's one thing I did. And I found the best spots to see the lavender. Nice. So that was fun. What else?
I wanted to meet you. I was going to try to meet you last year in the seaside town, Cassis.
Yes.
That looked, I'm such a sea person. That looked amazing to me.
And that was a great town. And I had a great Airbnb that was like two blocks away from the port.
Nice.
And what's nice is, you know, I had been to Cassis many times before. Mm-hmm. I had taken the boat tour of the Calanque. Calanques are like fjords. So very, very high cliffs.
Okay.
And you take a boat tour. Unfortunately, the boat is not allowed to dock and let you off and go to the beach. The only way to get to the beach is to basically hike there, which is what I did last year. And it's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah.
I spent the whole day. So I walked from Cassis to the beginning of the trail. And there are three calanques that you can visit. But you're going up and down rock. It can be dangerous. When I got to approaching the third calanque or beach, I was high on a cliff and I saw this couple coming up. And I said, just tell me, is it much further? Because I was ready to turn around and go back.
Yeah.
It was that kind of scary. They said, no, 10 more minutes. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you hung in there.
Pictures are stunning. And it's probably one of the best things I've ever done.
It looked amazing. I was so sad that I couldn't join you for that. That looked great.
Yeah, Cassis is a beautiful town, and I would go back there. You know, staying in a town for a week really lets you see the area versus just going for a day or half a day, which is in the past what I had done.
Sure.
So Cassis should definitely be on your list.
What about, I've always heard good things about Brittany.
Yes, Brittany.
Tell me about that.
So I went there. I started my trip near Mont-Saint-Michel. Mont-Saint-Michel is this gigantic monastery kind of on an inlet separate. It's renowned when you see the picture. And I've been there before, but this time I decided to do a half marathon race. And it started east, kind of northeast of Mont-Saint-Michel, and it was called Avranches, and then you run and you end at Mont-Saint-Michel. So there is debate, is Mont-Saint-Michel part of Normandy or Brittany? I'm not going to get into it anyways.
Yeah.
So my trip started there, and then I visited many places in Brittany, like Saint-Malo, which is where Jacques Cartier departed from when he discovered Canada after the native people. There's also Fougères. There's a beautiful, gigantic chateau. There's Cancel, which is known for the oysters. Went there.
I love oysters.
Dinan is a beautiful town. It's got, you know, those English Tudor style, half timbered homes everywhere. And then I headed south to Nantes. Nantes has Les Machines de Lille. And I don't even know how to describe it. They've created these moving, moving sculptures. So imagine an elephant, but it's all mechanical and it moves and it's 1.5 times the size of a real elephant. Or they make, all these moving things like a snapdragon that can actually probably bite your hand off with moving parts.
Wow.
It's the most fascinating thing. So that's another unique experience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That trip, I visited Brittany and then I took the train down to Provence 1 year.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So I know some people get intimidated when they're in a foreign country and especially not sure how to order meals. I mean, of course, if you can't speak the language, can be a problem, but I know a lot of people there do speak English, but what are differences as to how you would order things compared to, say, in Canada or here?
I guess the first thing I would suggest to a tourist, and even locals will do this, is order their set menu, their prefixé. Mm-hmm. And the reason is it's usually the specialty of the day. It's reasonably priced. And, you know, you'll have maybe a starter, main course, and dessert for a very good price.
Right.
Sometimes it includes wine. So that's, you know, I do that often. And I know locals do that as well.
Sure,
you know, you
sure.
try the specialty. And I also often ask the waiter or waitress, you know, what do you recommend? What's the specialty of the house? One thing that I can't remember who told me this, it might have been on a food tour, that if the restaurant has a good selection of wines, then most likely their food menu is going to be good. Because if they put enough care into what wines they are suggesting, then hopefully they have, you know, I don't know if that's true, but it was an interesting observation.
Now, I know, so when you order wine, they don't call it a carafe, or is that, what do they call it?
Well, no, you can order a bouteille, a bottle of
okay.
wine, or even a half bottle if it's on the menu.
Okay.
But what I often order is a carafe, which is known as a pichet.
Okay.
And you can buy different sizes of pichets. You can buy a 25 centiliter, so that's a quarter, 250 milliliters, so that would be like a third of a bottle.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Order a 50 centiliters, so that's 500 milliliters, so that's two-thirds of a bottle, that
sure,
kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's often a local wine. It's usually very good, and it's much cheaper.
And I think it's important to mention those things because a lot of people, you know, travel solo. I've traveled solo, you travel solo, and I know I went to this one place. Actually, I had this long layover in New York, and I'd heard about this really great Italian place I think it was in Queens. And I took an Uber there to eat because I had such a long layover, and then I went back. But everything on the menu there was for two people. It was so weird. And it's like, and you know, I mean, I couldn't really take leftovers because I'm getting ready to get on a plane, and I didn't really want to take leftover seafood. I don't think people would. Well, first of all, they wouldn't have let me on the plane with that. So, everything was in twos, but something like that is great, you know, that way, because you don't want a whole bottle necessarily, but you can, if you know how to order right, when there's just, you know.
And I have, I'll be honest, I have made mistakes. Probably my worst mistake or most memorable mistake. I love snails, escargot, you know, in garlic and butter.
Yum.
And there was something that was called snails, but it wasn't what you and I know, which is why I actually wrote a post about be sure you know what kind of snail you're ordering.
Yeah.
Since found out, there are many different types. So this is called boulot, B-U-L-O-T.
Okay.
Think of a spool of thread and it's white. And it's rubbery.
Oh.
That's what a boulot is. Ooh. It is a snail, but you eat it with, I think it's a garlic mayonnaise or just mayonnaise. There's also another snail that, and this was in Couloir, which is the south of Montpellier. So it's near the Spanish border. These are grilled escargot, grilled snails. So that's
really good. Was it good?
Yeah, they weren't bad, but my heart, you know,
yeah,
there's nothing like garlic butter.
Sure, absolutely, definitely.
Yeah. So that is a mistake I've made, but I haven't made too many others. There's certain organ meats I won't order just because I don't like that.
Yeah. Do you ever go back? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, do you ever go back to the same places? Do you meet people there, or do you try to just see as much of the country as you can?
I mean, I will go back to certain towns. Like, I went back to Cassis. I went back to, like, a lot. I don't really know people. Okay, I know one person in Paris. Uh-huh. She's actually another blogger. She lives there now. She's from Oklahoma, I think, and she married a French guy.
Okay.
So we meet anytime I'm in Paris. But there aren't people necessarily who I might meet up with.
Right.
But I do go back to, you know, shall we call it some of my favorite towns.
Better places.
Partly because it might have been 20 years since I was last there and things have changed.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Is there anything else about France before we move on to some of your other travels?
No, I can't think of anything. I mean, it's just there's a lot to see and a lot of different, you know, I guess the only thing I would say is don't judge France by one place that you've been to, because they're quite varied. For example, a lot of people speak English in Paris, which is why if you want to improve your French language, don't stay in Paris for, you know, like 2 months.
Right.
I was in the south of France, in the Occitanie area. No one spoke English. My French really improved in that two-month trip because I was visiting places where no one spoke English.
And did you enjoy, I think you've hiked in the Alps. Do you enjoy the French Alps a lot?
Yes, I love the beauty.
Yeah.
But I find certain types of hiking really difficult.
Yeah.
When I did, Chamonix is quite well known for hiking, and Mont Blanc, mm-hmm. but the trip I took or the hike I did, I was looking down most of the time because I was scared I would trip. Mm. So it was scary.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Definitely. Yeah. Okay. So, I do want to ask about, you've traveled so much. Tell them about some of the other experiences you've had that were particularly favorites or and for whatever reason.
So I'll start with the one in Canada. And to be honest, I haven't been everywhere in Canada, but one, and probably because it has the French influence, is the Quebec Winter Carnival. That was so much fun. So it starts at the end of January and it only goes for about 10 days to 2 weeks. And it's a winter festival, basically. There's a big area where they might have activities, very family friendly. You can do, it's not go-karting, but you're in this big, sliding around on ice in this big inner tube. Bonhomme he's like a snowman, comes around. He's really cute. Eating maple syrup that's been drizzled on top of snow. And then they have ice houses, you know, buildings that have been made out of ice and the ice hotel. I had no interest in staying at the ice hotel because I just don't like being cold at night.
Right.
But you can take a tour through it and it's fascinating.
Nice.
So, you know, you stay in a room, the bed is made out of ice, the walls, you have to go outside to another building to go to the washroom, but that's a unique experience. So when I was there, I decided to get a glass of maple liqueur in a ice cube glass. Oh, that was fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And stayed at the iconic Chateau Frontenac. That was a fun trip. Yeah.
What are some other, just to plug your home country, what would be some other places that people should see if they're going to come to Canada?
So when I was 14, we flew to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Beautiful out there. And, you know, Bouchard Gardens, being on the coast. And actually, a number of years ago, I drove up to Whistler, which is known for skiing. They had the Olympics there too. Mm-hmm. But I took tennis lessons in the summer. And what's interesting is the balls bounce higher because of the elevation.
Oh, wow.
So anyways, going back to that trip, we flew to Vancouver and then we drove through the Rockies to Calgary.
Wow.
So that, you know, the Rockies are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done the Northeast Coast. That may be on my list if I'm not going to be traveling to France, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, things like that.
Yeah. That sounds, I have a friend out in Vancouver and he loves it and says, you know, got to get out here because it sounds really neat. So tell us about some other places outside of your country that you've traveled to.
So I guess one of the most unbelievable trips I ever took was to Bhutan. And everybody goes, where's Bhutan? It's basically borders on India. And I may get this wrong, so I apologize. India, Nepal, and China. It's like way in the Himalayas. I had to fly to Bangkok. I stayed there a few nights and then flew to Bhutan. And I joined a G-Adventures tour. This is a country that's quite well known for their environmental issues. Mm-hmm. They're really trying to be carbon negative, not carbon neutral. Like they're doing things to save the planet. But what's more astonishing are the people. I have never met such friendly people in my life. An example is, we were at a temple, just visiting it, and we were told, oh, the king of Bhutan is going to be visiting to pay his respects to the king of Thailand who had died during that week. So we stayed, and before he arrived, some police officers, I guess security, came and said, no pictures, please. I went, but they didn't say, you can't take pictures. Like, they didn't do it in an angry way, but they did it in a really respectful way. You know, could you please not, or whatever. And because they asked so nicely, you go, well, of course I'm not going to.
Right.
So before he arrived, and I think it was the king. I apologize. It wasn't Prince. So anyways, I'm going to have to check on that. But he's the reigning monarch. I met the foreign minister, and he allowed me to take a picture of him. And it's one of the best photos I've ever taken.
Wow. Because
behind him was a gold prayer wheel. So.
Oh, wow.
So when the king and queen arrived, I was probably 2 feet away, and we bowed, didn't take pictures, and he said, like, thank you for coming. Like,
how neat. How that amazing.
But it's beautiful. It still is being developed. For example, on our road trip, a boulder had basically fallen from the hillside and had blocked the road. So certain things like that.
Yeah. Wow. That was an adventure trip for sure.
And, you know, meeting the monks and staying in monasteries and things like that. It's a very respectful culture.
Yeah. That sounds so amazing.
And then, I did a safari. Actually, it was more than a safari. It was with Meet a Wee, which is a charitable foundation, actually profitable too, but they also have these tours. And so my friend and I visited the organizations where money is put towards helping the students in Kenya, but we also did a safari in Kenya. So that was a lot of fun.
That's top of my bucket list. I so want to do that at some point.
Being that close to take, you know, I was taking pictures like crazy.
Yep.
Of all the animals that we saw. You know, I think the big five, as they say, you know, elephants, jaguar, cheetah,
And I was following you on Facebook during all that and your blog, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at what she saw today. It was
incredible. The guides really can see these animals from like 2 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And then drive the Jeep and we'd park there and wait.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Any others you could think of?
So I have friends who I met at this French immersion school. They're originally from Ireland. They live in Switzerland. So I went and visited them. And during the day while they were working, I took a drive up to Montreux. Mm-hmm. And because the Montreux Jazz Festival was happening. And so that was fun. Or going to Vevey and visiting the Charlie Chaplin house where he lived.
Oh, how cool.
And of course, there's like a museum within the house. So, you know, I've been to many countries in Europe because there's so much, you know, everything's close by.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think I've seen many more places than France, but obviously my heart is in that country.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping we would get a glimpse of your cat.
I locked him out.
I don't know if you noticed, but if everything started shaking, my lab came over and was pushing against me, and I thought everything's about to go down. So
I can hear him. He probably tried to bounce against the door. Do you want me to go get him?
I would love for them to see him. His antics are so funny.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on, Joubert. Come on. Yes, his name is Joubert. And come on, viens ici. I speak French to him.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
And he thinks he is too. He's a Burmese.
Oh, beautiful.
And drives me crazy.
Love, love, love him. My son is a huge cat fan, so I'll have to make sure he sees this.
Yeah, and he is a good boy.
Yeah. But, I know you always say that's the only thing you miss when you travel. You do miss him.
And, you know, every now and then, especially when he's bad, I'll speak to him in French. Attention, ne touchez pas.
Did he like get into some toilet paper, or am I imagining that?
Yeah, that was when he was really young.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would be a very bad thing. If Canada's like here, we've got to hang on to our toilet paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. No, when he was really young, all of a sudden one day I saw him walking out of the kitchen with a Ziploc bag that had my bagel in it. And then another time, I found a banana behind my bedroom door, and I realized, oh my God, he did steal it from on top of my sports bag.
Oh. So funny. He's always up to something.
He's got spunk. Yeah.
Well, I always like to finish with this. What, you know, after everything you've experienced and seen and enjoyed, what advice would you give your 20-something self or a 20-something daughter, or maybe you even gave this advice to your niece, but what would be some advice for young women that you would give?
Travel all you can when you're young, because when you're older, you won't be able to. And travel to different, unique places. I know the big cities are very attractive, but I think it's in those small towns, at least for me in France especially, that's where you really see the real culture of that country or area that you're in, the small towns.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you so much. It is so great to see you. And I just can't wait till we get to actually hang out together for real.
I know.
But we're used to this. We've done this a while, and we'll keep doing it till that day happens. But
thanks so much for having me, and it was great talking to you.
Thank you. And everybody, make sure you check out, again,
FranceTravelTips.com. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay. See ya.
Okay. Sure. Come run away with me, far away from everything. Mind if you come run away with me.
stars.